When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
Let's begin this morning with Thought Leader Thursday. Rod Murray is here. Rod is the Chicago Market President at Associated Bank. Rod, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve.
We sit here today to a couple days after the latest jobs report, 250,000 jobs created last month. The economy is still cooking along. It's a tight job market. What are you hearing out there from the CEOs and CFOs that you rub shoulders with every day?
Sure. And on top of the job creation, there was some wage growth. So that's good positive news. In line with the numbers, but the CEOs and the CFOs are still seeing it as a challenge to attract and retain talent. It's the number one challenge across the board. When you ask what keeps you up at night, what is your biggest worry? By far, that is the number one complaint.
What is the thinking outside of the box that's helping them? What are their strategies? What are some of the successes?
So you kind of hit it on the head by saying out of the box. You have to think out of the box. And whether that's going to, if you're a manufacturer distributor and saying, all right, well, I can't just use my old model. I have to figure out the technology side of things, even though I might be a blocking and tackling type company, to attract and retain talent, technology for your ordering, for your inventory, for your sales side of things, doing different thinking outside of the box to allow for flexibility if it's something that's needed, training. No longer do you have the path saying, here's your career path, it's from A to Z. That model's gone. So and if you're still using that model, you might get left behind. It's more of what can you do to innovate and integrate my company.
And also the you mentioned the flex time part of that. Instead of being able to give bonuses, the companies are now having to pay money. They're having to pay salaries, higher salaries, also perhaps even give more vacation time, things to attract those new workers.
Sure. Work-life balance is important to the generations that are coming up and even the generations that have been here for a while. So that's one of the non-compensatory perks.
We are watching earnings very carefully, listening to earnings, different earnings reports, CEOs not talking a lot about future plans. Are you seeing some hesitation? Because I know the last time you were here, we talked a little bit about this. Companies not pulling the lever on future plans yet.
Yeah, there's still that uncertainty. And I'll reference a company I was meeting with yesterday, the CEO and CFO, and they say things are going great. We think things are going really well. We can forecast on the short term very well, but longer term, there's still a lot of unknowns, whether that's if you're involved in the tariff stream, if you're involved in what might happen with the dreaded R word that keeps being forecasted out there for anywhere from an 18 to a 24 to a 36 month period.
And what is that? What are they telling you that is?
So, that dreaded R word of the pullback recession.
Right.
And there's just, they'll sit on their inventory, they'll build liquidity, and that's good. Earnings are still strong. We see it with the public companies that pull out. Earnings are strong, cash is strong in the big companies, but capital expenditure-wise, where you're doing some M&A or things that really drive, the ship for the economy, which is building structure, whether that's equipment or buildings and then hiring for growth, those are less certain than the other side of things.
Did companies do too much in the way of stock buybacks and not enough in capital expenditures with the tax cut?
Yeah, a lot of people would argue as such that there wasn't enough, putting it back into the company, so to speak. I think that selectively, you definitely could look at that and say that's a criticism of companies across the board. Too much stock, it really doesn't do anything, right? It's window dressing. I would agree with that statement. Not every single company, but in whole, yes.
Mm-hmm. What is the Fed's decision? How is the Fed playing into this in interest rates?
So I would certainly think that it's, December is probably baked, given the jobs report and the wage growth. Like we said last month, the trick or the key to the Fed will be, can you control the economy without crashing it? And right now, all the data that's coming out would support what they've been doing and what the forecast is that they'll be doing.
Do you think that there's been too much criticism of the Fed for moving forward on raising rates?
I don't know if there's been too much criticism. It's not so much with, you know, raising the rates. You know, you can't really criticize when you look at again these data analytics, at these numbers. It's more of what's the rhetoric that's behind it. You know, what is the you know, the words that are stated when this happens, or in the meetings that are in the in between the meetings, when the statements that are being stated, what's the messaging that they're controlling? So I don't know that there's been too much criticism. I don't think that you can just run that, though, and say we're going to do it through the end of the year. It's going to happen. You have to look at it, I think, quarter to quarter to quarter.
We talked earlier about attracting and retaining talent as being one of the pressing issues that's out there. There are a couple of others, too, in the recent survey of businesses that I'd like to touch on this morning. And I know these are ones that we've talked about this year already. But digital transformation, this area that there needs to be some sort of radical change, some reinvention inside of companies. There was the disruption part of that, but this is what we're talking about inside the company, what they're doing for themselves away from disruption. How big of a pressing issue is getting this part of it down?
Yeah, so digital transformation is not about purchasing technology or having the technology. It's how you leverage that technology. So that's what is the most important to a company's success or lack thereof, is how you transform your organization with that technology. Better insight, better analytics, and then how you manage as such.
And so give us a sense of, like, for instance, at Associated, how would this be playing out in real life at Associated?
Sure. Gosh, every day. You know, whether it's keeping ahead of the fraud, with having the fraud tools that are happening, giving consumers the best digital numbers or transformation of how to manage their money, control their money, access their money. You know, our IT folks and our digital retail folks are constantly trying to stay, you know, years ahead of that, because as soon as you think you have it down, you have to be ready and be flexible to change. You have to be very nimble on your feet. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the digital disruption, because we don't know. I mean, a bank, just like every other company, you don't know where the next Uber's coming from.
Yeah.
That can disrupt your company. So you have to be always thinking about three steps ahead.
And it's funny you brought that up, because that's instead of talking about the effect of disruptive technologies that it has been having, I wanted to get your thoughts on, well, what's the next thing going to be? Do you have any sense of what the new disruption is going to be?
Gosh, I wish I did, because I'd go invest in it. But no, I don't know what the next disruption is going to be, but I know that there's folks out there constantly thinking about how to build the better mousetrap, right? So it's coming. And in banking in particular, we've talked about things before about FinCEN, FinTech. We've talked about different micro lending. You know, there's non-banks that are doing things. So everything's, you know, happening in the digital age, and for us, we just have to stay ahead of it so that our offering is as good or better than the next person. But also, I think the most important thing that we can't lose sight of is the customer service part of things. You can have the greatest digital pieces in the world, but if your customer experience is not good, then that's not going to be something that's sustainable long term.
I think this, if I were in the C-suite, I think this is what would keep me up every night, would be looking over my shoulder. What's coming next? What is going to be my new challenge that I don't even know what it is tomorrow, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And because of that, there's, recently we're seeing a few more clients who are maybe at that age, who are baby boomers, who are looking at that next step and might be trying to pull the trigger a little bit earlier, because they don't know what that is. They don't know what's looking over their shoulder. And when I say pull the trigger on selling their company. So there's a little more activity in that side of the shop as well, privately held businesses are looking to sell a little more actively than we'd seen here recently.
I was also struck by this report that talked about the state of innovation globally and here in the United States, that we're not innovating as much, or it just doesn't feel like we're innovating as much. Do you get that sense, and how dangerous can that be?
Yeah, I do get that sense, and I used to not as much until I you know, had a few meetings. We have some clients who are owned by, you know, have a foreign parent, and some of the questions they were asking and some of the things that they're doing, you know, with their companies, you know, made me kind of pause a little bit and then look at it a little more broadly scope. I think we're a little bit behind in that. You know, some of it is that we're a little bit, you know, we're not the number one ease of doing business in the in the world anymore. You know, we're still in the top 10, but we've slipped a little bit. So I would agree with that statement. We're still the greatest, you know, economy in the world. Don't get me wrong, but we definitely have slipped a little bit on the technology side.
What could we do to change that, do you think?
Great question. It's, you know, getting rid of the red tape. You know, that's the one thing when you look at the different surveys or the different boards that come out on these rankings, the biggest criticism for the U.S. is just the amount of red tape.
Mm-hmm. I know some of that has changed with the new administration. Perhaps more is coming on the way. Let me ask you to look forward into the crystal ball. How much of this is going to change next year?
I think that very little will change next year, but maybe we'll start to have the blueprint for what it'll look like next year, you know, in the coming years. You know, while some of this stuff, like we talked about, can happen instantaneously, when we talk about large-scale world global economics, that's not going to happen overnight. So maybe the blueprint comes out sometime next year toward the end of the year, but I don't think that we'll see those significant changes.
Rod, great conversation as always. How can people have this conversation with you one-on-one if they want?
Sure, they can reach out to me with an email or a phone call. My email is rodney.murray@associatedbank.com, and my phone is 312-544-4515.
Okay, we'll see you next time.
All right, thanks, Steve.
Rod Murray is the Chicago Market President at Associated Bank. It's our thought leader conversation every Thursday here on The Opening Bell, and more at WGNradio.com. We'll continue our conversation with Rod after the bell and post that in the podcast of the program a little bit later on this morning. And remember, you can also head over to associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership to meet more of our thought leaders and hear more conversations there.